Looking at verses 6 and 7. Just a bit, Rob. Let's, begin at verse 5. Get a running start. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all Father, help us again, we pray, as we come to your word this morning. Father, by your Spirit, would you let us comprehend? Would you let us understand? Would you let us see? Father, would you let us be moved by this word? Your revelation to us. For your glory, for your praise, for the manifestation of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Verse 5 of 1 John tells us that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. What does that mean to us? What does that statement, that truth, how does that affect our lives? Maybe we memorized that verse years ago. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Really, it's from here, from this verse, that John is going to build his whole argument and everything he says in 1 John. This is so vitally important that we understand what is being communicated here. So very important that we believe in such a way that our lives are connected to, our lives touch this biblical truth. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. We must learn this before the dark days of life come. We must be, by God's grace, convinced that this is what Jesus Christ communicated to his apostles, for his apostles to communicate to the church, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Because in this life there will be dark days. There will be trials. There will be sorrows. There will be disappointments. There will be heartaches. We will never and we can never get to a place upon this earth, in this life, in this age, that we can live above these things. God has not promised that he's going to keep us from these things. But the Word of God tells us that God is light. And in him dwells no darkness at all. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the disappointment, in the midst of the things of life, what does this verse mean to us? And how is it reflected in our lives in relationship to the church? Light
I was thinking about this last week, and I wanted to say it for a couple of Sundays, but I haven't got to it. Have you ever really, this is so important. Do you really believe from the Word of God that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all? And do you understand that light always wins? If God be for us, who can be against us? Light always wins. If this room was just filled with darkness, horrible pitch, black, thick darkness, and somebody struck one little match, light would win. Because darkness can't overcome light. So in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our difficulties, is there something here that allows us to know light always wins? No matter what's happening. No matter what's going on. No matter how great the pain. No matter how deep the sorrow. There is something in our hearts by the grace of God that says light wins. And it's reflected in our lives. Not just something that we've put in our head. Not just something that we can spout. But something through the midst of the tears and the fears lets us know that light wins. This is terribly important. Do you know? Can you say to someone who's dying, you'll never see darkness? You say to that believer who's in their last days of life, death isn't darkness. The light of the world has come to dwell within you. And when you take your last breath, you are going to go from light to greater light. Death is not darkness for the child of God, for the person who has come to realize that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. Well, has nothing to fear about the darkness of death, because there will be no darkness there. You are in light, and you're going to close your eyes, and then you're going to really step into light, into the presence of Christ. Can you honestly and convincingly say that to someone because you yourself are convinced that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all? Notice that John in verse 5 doesn't say, John isn't saying, you know, well, I kind of like to view God as light. Or I kind of like to think about God as light. Or I just kind of feel that God is light. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think God is like. It doesn't matter what my view of God is like is. It doesn't matter what I feel God is like. What did Jesus Christ say that God is like? This is the message that we heard from Him. This is the message that we heard from the lips of Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh. This is God's own testimony to Himself. Do I believe it? And does my life reflect it? Remember that this same Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Jesus did not say, I am a light in the world. I am the light of the world. Jesus is the only light, the only true light of the world. Jesus is the only light, is the only wisdom that we were looking at in the Sunday school class. He is the only true wisdom of God. He's the only true light of the world. He's the only true light of my world. He's the only true light of your world. He's the only true light of the world of Grace Chapel. He's the only true light of any gospel-created church. Are we following the light of the world, or are we walking in darkness? See, it's the nature of light to penetrate everywhere unless it is deliberately shut out. Jesus is the light of the world. He has come into this world, and it to illumine, and it must be deliberately suppressed and shut out and put away and ignored and hidden. Because see, light is going to penetrate everywhere it shines. Think about this. Maybe you have a room in your house that you never want the lights turned on in. And you can open up the door to that room, and if it's dark in there, you can just pretend that room is anything you want it to be. Floors are waxed. Everything's in its place. No dust anywhere. You can just, in your mind, create your own view of that room. But as soon as the lights come on, everything is revealed. A light dispels darkness. It exposes what the darkness was hiding. And that scares us to death when we think about being indwelt with the Spirit of Christ, who is the light of the world. C.S. Lewis makes this quote: "We believe the sun has risen not because we see it, but because we see everything else." Think about that. We believe the sun has risen not because we were up early enough to see the sunrise. When we get up, we believe that the sun has risen because we can see everything else. What does the light of Christ allow us to see in our lives? There's a very real sense in which we can say that we really don't have a sin problem until we begin to walk in the light. While in darkness, while the room is dark and the lights are not on yet, we don't have a sin problem. We enjoy sin. We like sin. We like being our own master. We like being in control. We like being angry. We like all of our self-justification in everything that we do, and thinking that the world ought to revolve around us and we ought to have our desires. And woe be unto the person that gets in the way of my desires. We don't have a sin problem. But when the light comes, when the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, when by God's grace
our dark heart is changed, our blind eyes are opened, we see something of this sovereign free grace in the face of Christ dying as our place upon the cross of Calvary. We see our sin and what they deserve and what they cost God, what they cost Christ. We see sin for what it really is. Now we have a sin problem. First John 1:6-2:2. The Apostle John is going to expose three errors that the false teachers were making and teaching. He's going to expose those who were making false claims, maybe outwardly, maybe just in their minds, in their thinking, in their understanding. They were making a false claim to be walking in the light of Jesus Christ. They were claiming to be in Christ, claiming to be in the light. Yet their lives were not reflecting it. Verse 6 and 7, we'll consider it this morning. They were claiming to be in Christ. They were claiming to be in the light, and they were living their lives as if sin really didn't matter. No big thing. Verses 8 and 9, the one we'll get to next week. They were saying, I am not a sinner. A denial of the sinful nature. And then verses 10-2:2, they were claiming that they did not sin. They were denying sinful actions in their lives. So this morning, for a few moments, let's just look at the claim. Does sin really matter? Do we live in our lives with a conscious awareness that it does matter when I sin? Look at verse 6. Paul says, John says, got to get out of Ephesians. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. First of all, let's look at the we. Because the we in verse 6 is completely different and speaking to a completely different group than the we in the first four verses. We saw that the we in the first four verses was a particular group of the apostles, the men who were with Jesus from the time of His baptism until the time of His ascension into heaven after the cross. They had seen Him, they had heard Him, they had touched Him both before and after the resurrection, they had beheld Him, they had been instructed by Him. This group of apostles, including the apostle Paul, who meets him on the road to Damascus and gets a personal commission into the apostleship from the resurrected, glorified Christ, the we in those verses were this particular group of apostles who had received the message to give it and to write it and to lay the foundation for the church. The we of verse 6 is anyone. Anyone. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Let's look at this. What does this word walk mean? What does it mean to walk in darkness? What does it mean to walk in light? If we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, what does it mean to walk in darkness? We know biblically that the term walking indicates a persistent movement in a particular direction. Think about walking. When you are walking, you are moving in some direction. Now, I know right now somebody's thinking, not if you're on a treadmill. This is before treadmill days. If we are walking, we are moving in a direction. We are moving in a certain direction. We may be walking faster. We may be walking slower. We may be strolling. We may be power walking. But we are moving in a specific direction. And you can only, as a human being in God's creation, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, because of the cross and the resurrection and the enthronement of Jesus Christ, that Peter announces on the day of Pentecost, that this same Jesus whom you crucified, God the Father has declared to be both Lord and Christ. You are either walking this morning, you are either walking towards the Lord Jesus Christ, or we are walking away from Him. There's no standing still. There's no marking time. Life does not allow us to stand still. We are either moving towards Christ or we are moving away from Christ. We cannot get to a position. We cannot get to a comfort level. We cannot get to an understanding to where we can say, you know what? I know enough. I'm just going to park it right here. I'm pretty comfortable with my life. Pretty comfortable with where I'm at. Walking away from Christ. Walking in one of two directions. Either walking in the direction of having my life controlled more and more by a love for Christ and His church, because the two cannot be separated. You cannot say, boy, I love Christ, but you know what? I just hate the people of His church. Or you can say, you know what, I just love the church and I love the people. Just don't bother me with that Christ stuff. See, to walk in the light is to walk being controlled more and more by the love of Christ. The love of Christ constrains us, controls us. Or it's becoming controlled more and more by a love of self. A desire for self, controlled by the desires of the world and the philosophies of the world. One of the two directions, every one of us this morning are moving in one of the two of these directions. We are either growing and being controlled more and more in our lives by the love of Jesus Christ for us and for His church, or we're just becoming more and more selfish. Walking is a lifestyle. The proof of verbal claims and professions of loving Christ for His work upon the cross are demonstrated in how we live. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me, Galatians 2:20. What's our greatest love this morning? What's controlling us this morning? What is the direction? Oh, it's the persistent. It's the ongoing. It's the direction. Boy, if your name is Argerbright, while you're walking, you stumble quite often.
We were watching a 1986 family vacation tape last week and playing putt-putt golf and counted the number of times Timothy stumbled or fell. We're not talking about the stumbles and the falling. We're talking about the overall direction and persistency and consistency of a life. That's what it means to walk. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, the direction of our life is towards self. The love of our life is self or something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. If we are walking in Christ, if we have come to see the light. Just the other night on television, Sunday night, I don't know what time it is, maybe 9 or 9:30, the old episodes of Columbo come on. And every time I watch him, I'm just looking at R.C. Sproul. And you maybe remember it was that episode of Johnny Cash was on there, and he was a singer of a gospel group and a gospel ministry, and he kept singing, I saw the light, I saw the light. Then he kills his manager or something. And if we say we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice. If we walk in the light, if we have seen the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship. Not toleration. Fellowship. Fellowship. Defined. Participating together. A church is not a bunch of marbles in a bucket doing their own thing, doing what they want to do, doing what makes them happy, each individual marble, because sooner or later something comes along and knocks the bucket over and you have marbles everywhere. Marbles can just be removed and separated, and there's always this just... They're maybe beside of each other, but they're no fellowship. They're not participating together. Sharing something in common. A partnership we saw a few weeks ago. Sharing the gospel. The experience of the gospel. Sharing the same desire for the glory of Christ and the spread of the gospel and the honor of Christ and the praise of Christ and the setting forth of Christ. Just marvel. Doing their own thing. That's not fellowship. That's walking in darkness because you're controlled by your own desire. You're controlled by yourself. The Word of God, Christ told His apostles, if we are walking in the light as Christ is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. We're being guided by this light. Darkness is living a life that ignores Jesus. Walking in darkness is living your life ignoring what the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ says. It is walking in darkness is suppressing that light that shines through this Word, of hardening our conscience and saying, I don't care what the Word of God says. I am going to do this. I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be angry. I don't care what the Word of God says. That is to walk in darkness. Just going along and making decisions without a conscious awareness of Christ. And the false teachers were saying, you can go beyond Christ. There's something beyond Christ. Yeah, Christ said he is the light of the world, and the apostle says that that's all we have and that's all we need and that's all we're going to declare is this gospel. And the false teachers were saying, well, see, you can get beyond Christ where then sin really doesn't matter. You can go beyond Christ and be above the realm of sin. And to go beyond Christ is to go into darkness. To live a life of persistent sin. To live a life saying, I don't care, I'm going to do this, is to walk in darkness. To really to live a life that says, you know what? I know this is wrong, but I really don't think it matters. I don't have a sin problem. That's to be in darkness. To say, I really don't have sin. I really don't need a Savior. It's to live that way. John says, if that's what you're doing, if you say you have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, you're lying. You lie. We lie and do not practice the truth. Oh, you may have the truth up in your head. You may be able to spout out eloquently orthodox biblical truth, but you are not practicing the truth. So in verse 7, he begins to correct this. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Two results that always follow walking in the light. You want to know whether you're walking in the light or not? Do you have fellowship with one another? And this is speaking of the body of Christ. It's not having fellowship with two or three people within the body of Christ. It's a love for the whole church. A serving of the whole church. A fellowship with the whole body of Christ, the one another. Darkness, the lie, the lack of practicing the truth says, I can have fellowship with God without having fellowship with other believers. And you know, the reason, if you really stop to think about it, the reason why John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, uses the word fellowship with one another instead of what we would think. Boy, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with God. That's what we would expect. That's not what the Word of God says. We have fellowship with one another. What had the false teachers just been doing? What had people been doing? People had just been, through following this false teaching, they were separated from the fellowship of the church. They went out from us because they were not of us. They had a different goal, a different purpose, a different desire than that of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. They were teaching that you can participate with Christ in the gospel, that you can share with Christ in gospel blessing, be a partner with Christ, and not with everyone else for whom Christ died. I mean, just in a small assembly, a small church, created by the gospel, all of us realize that it's the same precious blood of Christ that has cleansed us. It's the same precious blood of Christ that we have been forgiven by. If we're not walking in fellowship with brothers and sisters in the church, we're not in fellowship with Christ. What's the second thing that happens? The second thing that we can see. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the gospel, if we walk being controlled by the love of Jesus Christ for us, dying as our substitute upon the cross of Calvary, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Our purpose, our goal, is to increase and to participate more and more in the fellowship with one another, because it's the fellowship of one another that declares and reveals the power and the glory of Christ and the power of the gospel to bring lives together, not to separate lives. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, let me back up one second. What the error is for the people who think that they can walk with God, be in fellowship with Christ, and be out of fellowship with the church and the ministry of the church and the goal of the church and the purpose of the church, is that these people, those who left the church, who were separating from the church, were redefining sin. We are not allowed to redefine sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the law, the prophet, priest, and king, now is the one who tells us, who defines what sin is. Sin is anything that's done out of relationship, not for the glory of Christ. That's sin. Give $1 million to the church. Work your fingers to the bone for the church, and if it's not done for the glory of Christ, it's sin. If it's not done in the fellowship of the church, it's sin. And you can't redefine sin. Say, no, it's not. No, that's not being in darkness. These guys were redefining sin. Because see, when you redefine sin, then it doesn't bother your conscience as much. If you define what sin is instead of allowing the Word of God to define what sin is, I can pacify my conscience and excuse anything I want to do. But if that's what you're doing, if that's what we allow ourselves to drift in that direction and do it, and redefine sin by what we want it to be, then the last part means nothing to us. Because see, it's only as we see sin as sin that the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us, present tense, ongoing action, cleanses us from all sin. The light of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, using the body of Christ, using the fellowship, is constantly searching and exposing our lives, our attitudes, our actions that need to be confessed as being sin and then repented of. The light has come on in the dark room, that dark room of our heart, and it penetrates and it exposes. And we either redefine it to soothe our conscience, or we confess it and repent of it to know the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. You can say, oh, I know, though, about the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And I believe that the moment that I believed in Jesus, that I was viewed by God the Father in His holiness as being perfect in His sight. And that is absolutely true. And that becomes the very motivation for the light to shine in my heart to expose the sin, so that I will now live in light of what I've been declared to be. If the Spirit of God in sanctification is not shining in my heart and making me a serious dealer with sin, and I'm probably deceived. I know in my head that truth, but it's not being reflected in my life. No, John is encouraging the church, and he's encouraging us this morning, that it is this continual process of light exposing the areas of our lives and the attitudes and the actions that causes us conviction, that causes us to be broken, that causes us to say, This is dishonoring to the gospel. This is divisive in the church. Forgive me. Forgive me. And we go and again, just because of the love of Christ, we begin to work on the in the fellowship of the church. The blood of Christ cleanses us. And all of a sudden, we experience not a one-time cleansing, but a continual daily cleansing by the precious blood of Christ. It's so easy for Christians to walk in fellowship when they're walking in the light of Christ, because we're so much more concerned about the sin in our life than the sin in the lives of everybody else. The more we deal with the exposed sin of our lives under the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the more we are joined in fellowship and walking together. The blood of Christ can never lose its power. I'll stop. You know why this is so important? You know why we need a daily experience of the forgiveness of the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Because there's a day coming when we're going to be on our deathbeds. And at that moment, to experience, because we've experienced it in our walk, in our entire lives, to be able to say, that blood has cleansed me every day since I saw the glorious resurrected Savior. It has cleansed me, it has cleansed me, it has cleansed me, and it will cleanse me today as I walk into the light of the glory of Christ. New Christians sin much and feel it little. Mature Christians sin less, but feel it much, much more. Let's stand. Father, help us this morning to realize from your word that sin does matter. It separates us from fellowship, the body of Christ. It mars the witness and the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the power of the blood. Father, it robs us of the joy, and one of John's purpose for writing this letter, of the assurance of knowing that we have eternal life. Turns our eyes away from the glorious power of the blood of Christ to resting in our own selves. And we thank you this morning, Father, for the assurance and the comfort that these words bring. That you never, our Lord never gets tired of cleansing us of our sin. You never tire of us coming before you and saying, Lord, it's me again. And it's that again. Help us to see this morning that that brings a smile to the face of our glorious Savior. And Father, that brings a smile to our hearts. And the joy of the apostles, and the joy of the Father, and the Son, and the joy of the body of Christ grows as we walk in fellowship with the Lord. Father, help us by your Spirit as we pray in Christ's name. Amen.